We welcome you again to the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thanks for listening. And thanks for writing us. If you like, you can email. The email address is here on the sermons page. Lord, thank you for this wonderful Sunday afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, how you come to this place in such a wonderful way. We don't deserve your presence, but we thank you for your presence. We worship you. We adore you, and we thank you, and we thank you for your blessing on Brother Freedom and on the listener today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, I just give you praise, glory, and honor. Father, help me that my voice will be where you want it to be this day. Help my words to be exactly not from me at all, no way, only you from your direction. Lord, I lean not on my own understanding. I acknowledge you as my supreme one. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for you're real. You're very faithful. I pray that you speak to your hearts of the people this day, wherever they are, all over the world. Let them know that you're real. You're very special. And Lord, I just pray that you touch in a mighty way. Move upon people with your mighty spirit that only you can do. And we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you in your wonderful Son's name, that name of all names, in the name of Jesus. That wonderful name, oh Jesus, that our Savior, our soon coming King, and our leader here upon earth, the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. We thank you, Father, for the God the Father. Thank you for you. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. And I thank you for that greater He that sits in us, He is in the world. And Father, I thank you that you're real. I thank you you're faithful. And your words declares that just must live by faith. Father, we stand in by faith, believing you're a rewarder to those that diligently seek you. Those that call upon you, that you're going to answer them, show them great mighty things that they know not. Father, just pray for a mighty blessing this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I truly believe that we're living in the time of the closing of the dispensation that we've lived in for so many years. And I believe that we're close to that time. I don't know what could be tonight. Be 5 years. I don't think it'll be 5 years. Really, I don't. But it could be a while. It could be 10 years. I don't know. God's schedule's not my schedule, and I don't know. I'm just here what I feel. And what I feel is He's coming back soon. That scripture in the 24th chapter of Matthew says, when you see these things being fulfilled, know ye the Lord is near. And what He's talking about, His coming. Even at the door. And truly, I believe all the prophecies, the signs, God's given an abundance of measure, overabundance, that we should see it day by day. I see the signs every day. I see things that's happening supernaturally. God just speaking to our hearts and knowing the time, that it's high time to wake out of sleep. And He's trying to get us out of our slumber into the place of seeing Him. Waiting, because it plainly says, Apostle Paul said, the Lord's going to come for those looking for His coming. But there's a lot of Christians I've heard on the broadcasting waves over TV and that. They talk about 1,000 years from now. No, we're not going to be here. We're going to be, millennial reign will be here, but we're not going to be in what we see it. This heaven and this earth is passing away, but His word shall not pass away. He's going to sustain His words exactly, will come out exactly what He wants them to be. There will be no variation, differences. It will be exactly true to the Lord. But while He's coming, then we have that hope in Him that He's going to sustain us day by day. And the message I give today, I believe it will help you. It's a very familiar passageway, and I hope that God will anoint it. It's the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, how many times when you're little kids, you wanted something? When I was a kid, you know, boy, I want this. And we get older, we still want things. We're consuming people. We make the stores thrive, work, you know, I mean, everything works for them because of our desire, because we want. We want this. We want a new car. We don't want an old car. We want a new one. Even reading books, I guess. I don't read very many. But I know people that they can't wait for the next summer cassette because they want these things. Wants is what satisfies us, we hope. But there's no satisfying like the Lamakina, the glory of God. See, we have all these wants, and they really take us away from our spiritual part. Because these wants get bigger than what we're trying to go for spiritually. I'm talking about Christians. When we receive Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we should have such an appetite for Him that we don't want nothing, hakamashita, of His glory. We need the infilling of His Holy Spirit. And with that infilling, then we start growing, maturing in the things of God. Now, in maturing, we learn to do a better job in the physical, too. If you're a mechanic, you're going to be a better one. If you're a housewife, you're going to be a better one. Wherever you are, you're going to mature in it. But it's not what you're really desiring. But God's going to let you mature in it because you're seeking Him. Our seeking is from heaven. Psalms 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. And truly, the Lord is our shepherd. If we don't want, then our wants is not in this world. See, when we come saved, we're sort of come back out of this world. But most people want to stay in this world and include it in their heavenly walk. And they don't fit. Now, you can be in the world, but your mind is not subject to the world. Your mind is on the things above. Your attention, your span is in heaven. It's not thinking about the things of the earth. The Bible says, come out from among it and be ye separate. That's what He's talking about. God's smarter than we are, but He knows that we live in a world, but if we'll put Him first, we're going to succeed here on earth. Because whatever you put your hands to, He's going to prosper you. It's like when I was in the military, it's the only time in my life that I was really an overcomer. God showed us secrets. It's very special. I wondered why my wife died the way she did. Well, here, night before last, the Lord just unveiled it all out. Told me exactly. And if I thought, I could understand, I see it. Yeah, it's very plain. It's right. Now, I believe she's in heaven. But I believe that her life was shortened because of something that she was involved in younger years. And a lot of people are involved in the same thing. And I believe there's Christians, maybe their health is not as good. I do know that. And our health is part of our witness. I've learned that since being sick. I haven't got the same drive 2 years later after I had the stroke before I had the stroke. I was more on fire then. It's not in me no more. Because it robbed something. My physical is not where it once was. I don't have that drive. That drive God gave to me. But I've sort of lost it. Now I have to go back like a lot of people that I've sort of felt sorry for them. I'm there myself. And I find myself really struggling in this world. God's put me there exactly because He wants it. I've had a bad leg, real bad leg. And I've hurt, pain. But I thought, well, Lord, it's my cross. I'll bear it. And so 2 weeks ago, I went up to pray for my brother, little brother. And he was not known wanting to be prayed for, so I just went by. So on that way, on the way back that night, I felt a little bit discouraged because of the fact I take it to heart, do those kind of things. I said, Lord, you know, I've got this leg problem, and I just wonder, I felt like this little sheepish boy that is sort of scared to tell his dad. I was, Lord, would you heal my leg? You know, just sort of. And God healed my leg. No pain. Hadn't been this way 2 years. See, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A lot of times why you're wanting spiritually because you're not asking God through faith in Him. You got mixed up in these emotions of the world and your mind is not set on the Lord. You think it is, but it's just a little bitty speck of your mind. The rest of it's all in the world. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes us to take rest. And the Hebrews, it talks about coming into that rest. I see so many people struggling because they're not in the rest. The 2 years ago, I was in the rest, and I'm not now. My body's not the same. My mind is still here. I get tension that never happened before. I had nerves of steel. Now I don't. God put me there where I feel for the other people. And so that's why I had it linked together up to 2 weeks ago that my leg would just stay this way until. But God says, hey, you have not because you ask not. See, God is beyond our understanding. That's why we got to have His will. And you're not going to have His will if you do not use what He's given you. He's given us some things, tools out here, and if we discard the tool, He says, hey, son, I'm trying to get you to grow up as a man, and here you give away the things that I've given you to grow up to be a man with. I have got nothing to help you with. And when we get rid of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're giving away the greatest tool that God could ever give us. The power of God is a supernatural being that God is part of God that actually comes down and lives within this cavity. How come I see the glory? Oh, I feel the glory of God, but like I say, when I had this stroke, it took away something. We're to give the strength of our youth. When we're young, we have a greater vitality. That's why we need to teach our children to serve the Lord when they're young. But this lady, her name was Sister Wilson, and she asked if we'd come to her house and have prayer meetings and that. And we did. It was a nice time. I really did. But she told me something that I didn't know until after through the stroke that I felt. She says, you're going to know that when you get old, you just ain't got what you once had. See, I had nerves of steel, and I went through these things, Lord, and I thought just everything was just so, anything could get it. But it was just, the Lord had to show me it's not that easy. I had been matured in the Lord for some years. Even though I made mistakes, I still knew His ways. And there's people out here that have never known His way. And they have to be equipped and taught by someone to help them to come up where they no longer struggle. They shall not want. He wants to make them, lead them by the still waters. Lie down in the green pastures. And then it leads me beside the still water. The green pastures are so restful. So peaceful. You know, if we don't have a peace, your heart rate can't come down. You know, I've learned something since I've had the stroke. I go to the gym and I watch this machine and you see your heartbeat. And if everything's right, it'll stay down within normal. If you got pressures, your heart rate goes way up and don't come down. If you're going to relax, there's a peace. See, God built these bodies to prosper in Him. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have to go to the doctors. If you don't, do it God's way. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, because happy is a man whose God is the Lord. And I'll tell you, you'll never be happier when you have the glory of God living within you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God's made it that you live in this life comfortably while you're here. You'll have the one that leads you, and you're not worried about missing assignments. You know, quite a few years back, I was working for a company, and I was always having trouble in knowing where to dispatch myself because not knowing what was going to happen. I might be one end of the county, the other end, someone broke down. But God supernaturally took care of this Himself by the Spirit of God. I started knowing exactly the Holy Ghost would let me know where it's going to be. People haven't learned this, but it's real. And God wanted to start growing. You can quiver and shake about the times, the signs. They're not going to change your heart. That reading the Word of God and eating it adds not to be for knowledge, but knowledge comes up, but you eat it for fuel. spiritual fuel, that you're going to be expand your body, and then the Holy Ghost who lives within you, He has a place carved out inside of you that's so big, so wonderful, He has room. But if you haven't done this, there's no room for it. You haven't got rid of the stuff inside it that needs to be cleaned out. Got too much junk. And that's what we do. This house here, we ask the Holy Ghost, you come and fill me. He says, well, I would, but I'd wish you'd get rid of some of your junk. Some of your clutter. You've got bad thoughts. That's really a hindrance. You've got anger problem. That's a hindrance. You've got other problems. That's a hindrance. And God expects us to get these things cleaned out with His grace. His marvelous grace is so big, so gigantic, so glorious. Oh, couple, that you, when you receive the baptism, He helps you clean your mess up where He can live within it. But until He gets it cleaned up, He just helps you in giving work. Someday He's going to live within you for the rest of your life. He's going to take you into heaven. Oh, He says, I know that child. I know that child. I know him and her from the very inception. When they accepted Jesus as their Savior, and then I came and helped them to become an overcomer. I helped them to expand. If they got rid of that, the things, the selfishness, the wickedness, the wanting things for themselves. He says, when they submit and get through these things, then I can come in and fill them. When we get this filling, the filling of the Holy Ghost is the most wonderful Hamashita, but you're not going to get it in 10 minutes. Probably takes about 5 years for the average person to get where they can receive. You're having it, but you're not filled. You're just working in Him. But when He fills you, it's an excitement that's never been. And you'll know exactly when He moved in. He'll be your friend. See, these leaders, I don't like to say our leaders, but they did not know. And they shortchanged people. You know what shortchanging is? That you don't give it back as much as they have. The Holy Ghost is real. Jesus paid that we might have a full life in the Holy Spirit. And with that, where His Spirit is, there is liberty. Liberty is, that's what we fight for. That's for these countries that's mixed up. We win the war, then we bring liberty to that country. But liberty is now, it don't come that way because Satan is everywhere. And so that's why we gotta have the Holy Spirit within us. He is the reason that'll keep us scheduled on a straight and narrow path. He says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that enter that, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it. The only way that we can stay on this pathway to heaven, and I truly believe it, is in filling with the Spirit of God. Now you this other way, it's a mechanical church. Very mechanical. You just say, well, I failed, I'll do it again. But God says, hey, you don't need to do it again, just do it right. God forgives, and we all mistakes, but we learn through our mistakes. And that's what we need to learn. There's a time when we don't have to sin. There's a time when we abstain from all appearance of evil. That we can come out from among it, and we be a separated, holy people. And we don't point fingers at someone. We just say, I know that God's able to help you. You know, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. What judgment she judged, you shall be met back in that same measure. And so many people in the world, the churches of the world, I mean, they judge. But I started seeing that in prisons. The prisoners judge another prisoner real because they didn't want to see what was wrong with them. And so I think the same way is in us. When we get perfect love, casts out all fear. When I'm talking about this inside of the spiritual man, when perfect love is here, love suffereth long as kind, love bondeth not, is not puffed up, doth not behave but seemly, seeketh not our own, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believe with all things, hope with all things, endure. That package of love becomes our, what we're made of. And the Spirit of God moves through that. And then when God tells you to do something, my child, you do this, you say, sure, I'll go. Where you lead me, I'll follow. But we're trying to manipulate people through saying they have something that they're not even ready to have it. I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is there with us, but He's not totally, if you get the picture, He's not really living inside of you, He's just living with you. But the Bible says He shall be in you. And John, He will be within us, live within us. But the knowing what you received, the knowing what you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teacheth you. But is that saying, the knowing is true and is no lie, and even as He taught you, ye shall abide in Him. The abiding in the Spirit of God is very scriptural. You people out there that don't believe in the abiding in the Holy Spirit, you need to realize that it's scriptural. Where God's Spirit is, there's the Spirit from heaven. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What your man soweth, that should also reap. If you'll move to the Spirit of God, you're not going to be deceived. You're not going to be shortchanged. You're going to walk in victory. And you cannot do it in yourself. You do it as you submit to the Lord. And when you're a child, I thought of a child, we were a child, we need to have the engrafting Spirit of God within us to remove this hindrances. The Bible says, lay aside in Hebrews every weight that is so easy to beset, and let us run that race with patience. Well, we've never taught people that was just the starting point. You get rid of those hindrances, then God's going to come and live within you. And then you're not praying. You're not searching because He lives within you. People up to that point, they search. They're looking for revival. Oh, I told a preacher years ago, you just need to get on fire and you can live out here and it don't make any difference. God's living within you. It ain't going to affect you because He's, the Spirit of God's in you. And God sometimes lets you be someplace that you might influence that one that's bound that they might be saved. Paul talks about that you might bring them back out of the fire where they've been entangled with. That's our purpose. Christians should grow. They should have so much power of God within them that they're able to deal with any aspect that comes upon this life. And any prayer request they get, they know it's going to be answered. There's no question. There's nothing. It insults them when people don't ask them because they want to see God move. Nothing touches your heart and God touches you in such a way. The electricity from heaven comes, the light is coming right now. The glory comes out. The power of God. It's here to be used. It's here to be released. A supernatural power. They talk about this. The time that we're living, all we got the TVs, this thing. Well, God's greater than that. The Holy Ghost is power. It's beyond anything you can even imagine. It goes down your arms and through your legs. It's everywhere. That's why God had to give me a stroke. Because that was my trouble. I was a little bit too tough on people that couldn't do it. I thought, well, thank God. Versus, no, they don't really know. So God brought me down to the bottom. It's been tough. But I'm sorry for any time that I've judged wrong in that area. I felt that people could get it. But so I've been went to some classes in school where I was having trouble getting it because it didn't come easy for me. And I found out that sometimes there's some Christians that don't come easy for them. It always came easy for me because I've loved the Lord ever since I was a couple years old. In that I had an encounter with death when I was 9 years old, and that enlarged it. And then when I was about 19 or 20, I had a couple of encounters in Korea that was, again, in Texas, right after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was loading the cat one morning on a road that had an end of a blacktop road. I had that HD-15, had it sitting on the back. I got loaded up and had my dog with me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, jump. I jumped, and a car hit me, and I landed on top of the windshield. It threw me off on the side, and He just kept on going. We need the supernatural power of God every... If I hadn't been sensitive to the Spirit, I'd have been killed. I'd have been killed there. Because when I jumped, I was young then, and I was real athletic, and I jumped high, and that, it was a Ford car, I remember, and when I could see his face, and I hit, and I rolled off, and he knocked me off. I just missed the dozer blade, because the dozer blade was up in the air there. He had no lights on, but that's what I'm saying. We need the power of God. And then when I worked as a mechanic, I seen time after time, it was an effort from heaven. Your whole life is affected in your working area, where you are, from heaven. The Bible says his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears open to their cries. We need influence from greater than man's influence. We need supernatural influence. I remember some pastors were talking. They was in, I guess, the kindergarten, and I was up here in high school, spiritually. And these pastors of this church or something, there was a pastor there. They said, well, you know, if you ever hear from God, we teach that. I just heard them talking. What they said wasn't even right. And yet they were the spiritual leaders of this denomination. What claim they walk in the spirit. But they didn't know nothing about the fundamentals of spirituality. Tell you another story. Out there, my wife was very sick, so I got a job in a town south of here, and I worked on it 3 days a week. And I left it at home about 3 o'clock every morning, and I got back when the 3 days I worked, it was three long days, but it was very profitable for me, and I could do it. I could take care of her, and the next day I'd rest, clean the house, and then the next day I'd go back again. When this job ended, I needed funds, and I told the Lord, I said, this man was real good to me that I'm down there working for. I said, I need another job. And it was on a Monday morning. The Lord says, I want you to go down here, go to Electric Avenue. I didn't even know where Electric Avenue was. And I want you to go down there about a quarter mile, make another left-hand turn, go about 300 feet, there's a shop there. So I want you to inquire. His name was Ron. I had to take Betty to the doctor, but told her, I knew that was at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, so I told her, I said, I think I can run out there and see this man, maybe I might get a work out there. See, that's my livelihood. I'm talking about using life, God, for practical things, too. I didn't ask God for a handout, I just tell me someplace I can work where I can have sufficient funds to be able to pay what I'm supposed to pay for. Bible says we're not to owe any man anything but love. So I knew it was very needful that I fulfill that calling that God had put me in. So I was praying, and I said, Lord, I said, I need that job. Went in there, and they had some men standing out there, and they said, who are you? And I told them, they said, oh, you're an old, I don't know what you call it, an old icon or what it means. And then, because I'd been around a while. And they said, well, you're going to find Ron back behind. So I went back there, and I said, Ron, would you need a mechanic? He said, sure. When you go to work? I said, I can't do it. Oh, he said, I was hoping you'd go to work right this moment. Can you come to work tomorrow? I said, well, if I can get tools there. No, he said, don't you have to worry about that. He said, I'll give you tools until you can, I need you desperately. But it's exactly like the Lord said. I never had been there. Never. Never. He says, go to Electric Avenue. Make a left-hand turn, go about a little over a quarter mile, make another left, and he'll be on the right after about 300 foot. Exactly right. Even the name was right. Exactly right, and he was ready to go to hire. I worked for him a couple of years. I can tell you time after time, God is very real. People think he don't do, but he does all those things. He didn't even tell you when to shut an engine off. You shut it off, and then they find the rag in the pump. But you need to learn to know him. And that's what I'm trying to get over tonight. I know it's today takes a while to do it, but work at it. Because you're going to find he's very friendly. And if you get out here and try to do good, he's going to bless you. You're not even going to look for him. He's going to come and find you. If you'll just start doing good, you don't have to get the approval of nobody, because he'll start proving you. He'll start making things happen for you. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The soul of man is what we need that restoring in. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall bring forth his fruit in a season. His leaf shall also not wither. Out there you've got people that have withered leaves. But God just don't have withered leaves. He wants you to have fruit. You know, a tree that don't have leaves don't bear no fruit. They sort of come together. So out there, you need to get some leaves on your tree spiritually where you can have some fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is having the gifts of God. You know, you can have the baptism, and you have the gift of discernment. You have the gift of faith. So many gifts. Gift of healing. Gift of prophecy. Gift of interpretation, tongues, interpretation, gift of knowledge. They're just some of the gifts that God gives out. And there's helps. That the man of God might be furnished in every good work. That the woman of God might be furnished in every good work. That we're equipped for the ministry. That's in Ephesians. That we're equipped for the ministry. The ministry is what you face while you're here in this life. If you don't have that equipping, you're going to be fruitless. You're not even going to have any leaves. Your leaves are going to fall off too. Things out there that are barren. And God speaks about that. To trim those. The 15th chapter of St. John. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch that beareth me fruit, you're going to purge it. If we don't have any nothing, he's going to cut it off. Then we might be just where we can start growing. And that's what life's all about. It's not going down here and puffing up your head and some place that you're high and haughty, but just submitting, humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. See where we are, we never humbled ourselves. Most people have never really humbled themselves. Most people don't know how to pray through. And you pray until you pray through until God comes up. Look how much the glory comes down. People don't know anything about it. I've been to prayer meeting all time Pentecost. You know, the term meeting that just makes you sick. There's no move of the Spirit. People don't pray through. When you pray through, heaven comes down. You submit to God, and God lifts you up. You submit to Him, He lifts you up. You don't submit to God, you stay down here. When He submit to Him, He lifts you up. When the other way, you fall back down. Very simple. We need to grow in the Lord. We need to be achievers. Don't be like I have. I'm having my stroke. I don't have what I have enough. But you need more. It's coming back to you with the stroke at all. God bring it down. His power. My muscles are getting bigger. My power is coming back. God's here to bring life. Abundant life. And I believe God's going to supernaturally touch me. Even I've had a real problem before me. You might have a problem in your life, but God wants to bring you out of that problem. Don't say you're not fit. You can be fit in God's kingdom. God can make you well and holy in Him. Come out from us and God will bless you. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless this day. Oh, we'll pray that you'll finish the service again, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And God bless everybody. Come over, see the kind of a city. For I'm coming soon, says the Spirit of God. I'm coming for those that's looking for my coming. But for those that's not looking, they're going to miss that day. And I say that day is coming very short. It's even at the door. My people need not trying to get prepared, but they need to be prepared now because that day is at the door. My people, don't let one day come by without seeking your Lord because I say I'm coming soon. Rejoice in me. And I shall rejoice with you in heaven. I'm calling you. Come, my people, come. Lean not in your understanding no longer, but fall on your faces, your knees, and pray to seek my face that I might touch you in a mighty way. I love you, my people. I love you. Seek me, and you shall surely find me. For there's room for all. There's room for all, says the Spirit of God. God bless you all. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Clint, would you pray a prayer and close?
Father, thank you for this wonderful move of the Holy Ghost. I feel your presence here, and I just praise you and I glorify you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you and thank you. Amen and amen.